And I went in his locker and opened up his damn check and looked at the number, and I was like, holy crap. And about 2 minutes later, he walks in the locker room. He's like, who's been in my locker? Who's been looking at my check?
Yo, 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 what's up, homies? It's Wednesday, February 22nd. I am still on vacation, so is Ahmed. But we still got more to release here from all the great conversations we had during Super Bowl week. Got a great list of guys here. Some real crazy personalities, some good conversations. Florian and I had a lot of fun on Radio Row. So here's a little more to wet your beak, tease you. It's a weird time of the year. There's no news. It's football season's over. I'm kind of sad. It's anticlimactic. So, you know, here again, some of the guys that we talked to during Super Bowl week, George Kittle, and how Brock Purdy impressed him when he knew, wait, this guy's got a chance. We got a little Josh Jacobs. We got Aiden Hutchinson, Isaiah Simmons, linebacker for the Arizona Cardinals. He drops a little interesting nuggets about the coaching situation with the Arizona Cardinals. And then finally, my former teammate, Sean King, quarterback of the Buccaneers back in the day, works for Veasan out in Vegas now. He comes in, we tell some stories, have some good laughs. So here you go. First off, right off the bat, as it should be, one of the greatest personalities in the game. And I don't know, is he a WWF personality? He acts like it sometimes, but he's awesome at tight end, too. I know that. Without further ado, here's George Kittle. Enjoy.
Make them all count, right? Only a handful left. Make them all count.
Gonna roll Purdy the opposite way, going left. Purdy time, gonna throw back right, and it is juggled, and George Kittle makes the catch to midfield. What a catch by George Kittle on the throwback there for Brock Purdy. Bobbled it a couple of times, but was able to reel it in.
Right there.
I still would have caught it, though.
You still would have caught it?
Man, I've been lucky.
It was Trayvon
Diggs right
there.
Great catch in the division around by our next guest, George Kittle, who came bearing gifts.
Yes.
I only use Old Spice. Boom. I've got so much Old Spice at home.
I do it right here.
I still want a hoodie. I got the t-shirt. Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I smell good.
You're such a quarterback, man. Oh, that's incredible.
George, how you doing?
I'm wonderful, man. Happy to be here. Enjoying hanging out with you guys.
You have a zest for life. You have a zest for football. It's infectious. It's contagious. And you've always been that way. And no matter how many years you play in the NFL, I feel like it's never going to change.
No, I won't change. I love football. I love life. I wake up every single day in the great state of California. I see the sunshine, blue skies. I practice in December in 60-degree weather. I have a wonderful farm of acreage in Nashville, Tennessee. What do I have to complain about, man?
Yeah. Great Bernie Doodle also.
My guy.
Yes. Oh, I got one too.
Damn.
I miss
her. Aren't they the best
dogs?
Isn't
it hard to be away from her?
I feel terrible. Because the second you get home to you, like, they're excited to see you, but at the same time, they're like, where have you been?
Right.
I've been here.
Right.
So it is, but she is hanging out at the Juszczyk's house because they have a wonderful dog too. So she's in good hands.
See, ours doesn't get along with other dogs.
Oh, that's doesn't tough. Get
along. Takes after
it's
them.
Like
takes
his owner.
After the owner.
I get that. I understand that. She takes after
your
me.
Your dog's probably crazy and likes everybody.
Hey,
and
she sleeps 18 hours a day, bless her heart.
Wow.
She has like 30-minute burst of energy, and then she's asleep.
It's over.
It's amazing.
Right.
It's the easiest dog to take care of.
Well, talk about, like, just
football?
Your yeah, well, I know. I actually don't care that much because I can listen to you talk about anything. Like, just the culture with the 49ers and how, you know, Coach Shanahan, Kyle, kind of lets you guys, it seems like, be you guys, and it's pretty rare.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, early on, like, this culture is something that we've developed, right?
Right.
It was not just, hey, Coach Shanahan and John Lynch came in 2017, and it was all of a sudden,
yeah,
we have these guys that are working the way that we work. But over the course of a couple years, and then, like, with certain players, like, Joe Staley was there, right?
Yeah.
And he had a certain work ethic to him. Garrett Celek was there, tight end. He had a certain work ethic.
Right.
And then you added me. You added Fred Warner on defense the next year.
Yeah.
Quan Alexander was a huge addition for us in 2019.
Right.
And like his attitude, but like this culture just started to kind of develop. And 2019 was kind of where it took off.
Yeah.
And then you had like DeForest Buckner, Eric
right.
Armstead, Nick Bosa was in on that. And so like when you have a good group of guys that are all of high character.
Right. And psychos about football.
Psychos who love football, but yeah, they also want to get better every day.
Right.
You can kind of let guys off the leash because they like, we hold ourselves to a high standard.
Right.
I want to be the greatest.
Right.
Fred Warner wants to be a Hall of Fame linebacker.
Right.
Nick Bosa wants to be a Hall of Fame defensive end. So, like, when you work like that, you can be who you want to be as long as you show up every day and you're accountable and you respect your teammates.
Yeah, yeah.
And the problem is, as Debo explained to us the other day, in practice, you guys beat the hell out of each other.
We do practice hard. But, I mean, like, there is a part of that that you need to go through to an extent to get, like, your body in shape for football because
right.
they're honestly, like, training camp doesn't really even get you ready for NFL contact. Like, I know, like, some people go out there and do, like, live tackling drills, which is, I think, is crazy to me in practice. But, yeah, do we practice hard? For sure. Is it super fun every day lining up against a Nick Bosa in a nine technique and running outside zone at him? No, it's not fun every day. But that's the hardest thing that I'm going
to
do in an
NFL
season.
And it makes it easier when you have to do it against somebody else.
So, like, I'm okay with it. And I think we've gotten to the point, too, where, like, we've figured out kind of reps and stuff like that for guys. And I don't think we're running guys in the ground. Like, I hear of other teams who have 100-play scripts on multiple fields, and they're doing ones and twos on multiple fields. Like, that sounds like crazy talk to me. But, like, that's what some teams do. So I think we've established a pretty good way to do it. Do we practice at a high level? Sure, we're flying around all the time. But, I mean, we were pretty healthy by the end of the year besides the most important position, football quarterback. Yeah, but besides right. that, I mean, we were rolling.
Your game against the Eagles essentially ended with the Brock Purdy injury. It remained interesting for a while.
Yeah.
And it felt like you guys were going to give him a run. But then, especially after Josh Johnson left.
With 13 minutes and 30 seconds left in the third quarter.
Right.
Pretty tough.
Your thought on how that all transpired that day?
I mean, if Brock doesn't get hurt, like, I'm fully confident in my team. Like, I'm not going to guarantee a victory. But I was confident in us to go into that game.
It's going to be tight. Right. Well, like, yeah. You're going to be in it.
I go into every single football game knowing that I'm going to win the game. And then when I don't, I'm like, well, that sucked. Like, why didn't I win? Let's go fix that, right? But if you don't have that confidence, I don't think you're going to last very long in the NFL. When Brock got hurt and we saw Josh came in, I think we might have gone three and out, but then our defense held. Our next drive, we go down and score a touchdown. Christian McCaffrey has that insane run where he breaks 12
runs
tackles.
Over people, right.
Absolutely crazy stuff. So it's 7-7, and I think we ended the half. Josh drops a snap. It's a fumble. They score. It's 21-7, but we're getting the ball out. Like, I was so confident in us. We'd converted a 3rd and 12. Josh hit me on, like, a double move out route. I was like, okay, we can still move the ball. And then the next play, Josh got hurt. And I was like, and they're like, hey, Purdy's coming back in, but he can't throw the ball. Right. I'm like, that's what this is. I'm like, well, like, at that point, it was 21-7. I was like, okay, well, if we can run the ball and score this drive, maybe our defense can figure something out and do something spectacular. But I think it gets to 28-7. You can't throw the football at this point. You're just disappointed because I think everyone watching was disappointed. Yes. Every football fan was disappointed.
Of course. It wasn't even a good game. It wasn't a real game, right.
And, like, do I think a 31-7 score is accurate?
No, of course not.
But, I mean, if we were in the Eagles' position, I think we would have done the exact same thing if you play without a quarterback. I don't know if there's a possible outcome. So it is what it is.
When did you know about Brock Purdy? Like, when did you know where, like, I know you said all the right things early on, but I'm sure when he first came in, you were like, yeah, I don't know, can we really make a run here? Was there a game, a moment where you were like, okay, we're going to be okay?
There were three in chronological order.
Here's your schedule if you want to see it.
No, in chronological order, there are three things that happened.
Right.
First was in OTAs. I like to throw jabs at rookies just to see how they are. Like, are you going to jab me back? Are you confident in yourself? Right. Are you just going to be like, oh, my gosh, George is talking to me?
Right.
Like, I'm friendly. Like, I don't bully people, but, like, I just want to know what, like, your psyche's made of just a little bit.
Yeah.
And so Brock would fire back at me and, like, zingers me. I'm like, oh, okay, Brock, I love it. So I like that confidence. And he had a presence to himself. Then we get to training camp, and he starts off with his number three, and he beats out the number two guy. And then the third preseason game against the Houston Texans, he throws a laser right down the middle of the field, is running a special route in cover two, hits Ross Dwelly, our tight end, right down the middle of the field. Like, bang, bang, beautiful catch. Catches it, gets smoked. It was a beautiful pass. I was like, that's an NFL pass, right? Mm-hmm. That's a quarterback that can play in the NFL. And then he gets a shot against Miami, and the very first play he comes in is cover zero, right?
Right.
Delivers. Yeah. And cover zero in his face like 10 times.
Right.
Delivers.
Right.
If a guy can do that and he's okay with pressure and getting hit, doesn't flinch, you can win games. Yeah. And after that, we were confident.
Right. I have an important non-football question. I don't know how new this is. It's the first time I've ever noticed it. But I have a new level of respect for George Kittle because on his right hand – is Hobbs from the Calvin and Hobbes cartoon, the funniest cartoon strip ever made. Look at that. That is awesome. How long have you had that?
I got it last summer.
It's awesome.
Thank
it's
you.
Incredible. And I appreciate a Calvin and Hobbes
fan. I got a Hobbes quote on it, too. It's in the handwriting of the comic book, too.
Yes.
I suppose we couldn't laugh at things that don't make sense. We couldn't react to a lot of life. Yeah. That's kind of me. I just kind of laugh at everything.
That's good. That's amazing. That seems like it's before your time. I'm actually like...
You got to get Calvin on the other hand this year.
I'm Calvin.
You're Calvin.
I'm Calvin.
So what does Calvin... Well, I don't want to say it. What does Calvin piss on?
You see? Cowboys fans' hopes and dreams.
I love it.
Just sometimes.
All right. We only got like 90 seconds.
Beautiful.
So I love when you go to Old Spice time here. Let's
go. Yeah. You want me to talk about? Oh, dude, this product placement was fantastic.
It was.
Thank you guys
and
for
I put it on.
Up.
I know.
You did. You guys are wonderful. I'm happy to be part of the Old Spice Swagger campaign. 24/7 protection. That's what you care about.
Yeah,
we're friends, right? You consider us?
Yes.
If he had something in his teeth, you would tell him, right?
No,
you wouldn't.
No,
not great friends.
If he was falling off the stage, I wouldn't catch him.
Yesterday, he didn't even help me.
He laughed. Though,
he laughed. He actually looked for his water.
I would tell you if you had something in your teeth.
Yeah, I know you.
But
wouldn't.
If you didn't smell very good,
right?
It's kind of hard to tell someone that because there's not really anything you can do about it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So why don't you just start your day with Old Spice Swagger, smell great, have the confidence to dominate the day, watch your friends fall off of stages and just laugh at them, right?
Yeah,
be
yeah.
confident in yourself. So start with Old Spice.
Okay.
George, it's awesome. You're one of our favorites. It's great to see you as always. All the best next year. And we always say it too, we don't want to see you next year. There was one year we didn't see you. We don't want to see you next year.
Seriously, you appreciate it. Let's go.
Yeah, just give me one quarterback for a full season. That's all I want.
Good luck.
Are you looking forward to having an offseason that's normal or do you like turmoil?
I mean, I'm kind of an outgoing guy. I enjoy everything.
You like the turmoil. All right, we love George Kittle. The winner of the FedEx Ground Award for 2022, Raiders running back Josh Jacobs. Josh, welcome back to the program.
Man, thanks for having me.
I've been around so long that I remember meeting you at the Super Bowl. We interviewed you coming out of Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
What's that been, 5 years, 4 years?
Going on five.
Going on five.
He's ready for that new contract, Mike. What do you, that's why he balled out this year and led the NFL in rushing. He's ready. It's ready to get paid time.
How much motivation did you take from the fact that they didn't pick up a fifth-year option?
I told my agent, he was like, he was laughing about it last night. I told him, man, I was like, I didn't really want him to pick up my fifth year option because it was, I think, $8 million at that time. And I was like, man, I'm going to be a year older and then they could still tag me and things like that. I was like, I'd rather just, you know, be in the driver's seat and try to ball this season and however it go, like, you know, the weight be on me.
Right.
So that was the thing that was really, like, on my mind. I could say the thing that frustrated me was playing in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about that. Like, what the hell?
We were there.
Yeah, that was the one I was kind of like, that one kind of felt the type of way.
Do you think coaching staff was trying to send you a message?
Yeah, definitely, tell us. Yeah.
Definitely trying to send me a message. Or they were trying to see how I respond. Either way, I ain't like it.
Well, it worked, I think. It obviously lit a little fire under your butt there.
You earned the C, right, eventually?
Oh, yeah.
What did that mean to you?
Man, that meant a lot, man, because, you know, I feel like on a day-to-day basis, I lead, you know, and just by not only just words, but, like, you know, by example. I come in early, I get in the building, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours before, you know, we needed to be there, and I just kind of, you know, put my head down and worked. And, you know, I talk to the guys all the time, you know, and just try to, you know, lead the right way and, you know, be a great example of who a Raider is.
You're right. All right. So I've been a part of both of the cultures you've been a part of here 5 years in, right?
Yeah.
I was Gruden for 5 years of my life, and then I got some Josh McDaniels too. So tell people, like, both can be successful. We know that. I'm not trying to say anything bad about either one. Just tell people the difference, like, at least in Josh Jacobs' eyes.
Yeah, you know, Gruden is very, like, I can say,
man,
like, eccentric.
Gonna, let's
yeah,
go,
you know,
man.
He's,
I'm going to make this play. Hey, what's up, Rondé?
You know, he's going to talk a lot. Gruden going to talk a lot, and he's going to show a lot of love in the meetings and things like that.
I'm going to get you the ball. You're going to do this.
Yeah, he's one of them guys. Like, he is very, like, uplifting in every moment that he can
show
have.
You the Roger Craig video, catching all the ball, and you're going, you could be that, right?
Exactly.
Right.
You know, trying to motivate you that way, you know, and Josh is one of them guys, like, oh, yeah, we're going to show the bad, and you're going to figure it out. But I like that, too. Like, he's so real. You know, they're two different people.
Right.
But, man, their minds, you know, football minds is
amazing,
crazy.
Right?
It's crazy, man. It's on another level. Like, I always feel like I know a lot, and then I meet somebody that knows a lot more, and I'm just like, wow. Like, it's dope.
So also, explain the language of the offense. Because I've done this with Mike a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, West Coast John Gruden.
Yeah, no, you've done it on a video that we see all the time.
Well, yeah,
where
I butcher
can't
it.
Spit it
I
out.
Butcher. Yeah, yeah. I butchered it. Right. At first, there's a rookie video of me. I couldn't spit out a Gruden play. Right. It was 9 miles long.
Yeah,
but
it is long.
Gruden, you're in West right slot 72 Z bingo. You split right.
Spider two wide banana.
Spider two wide banana. Right.
Yeah.
And then Josh McDaniels came in, and you were like, "What? Like,
man, you know his." His is so much different. Like, he got
the numbers in the formation.
It's numbers.
It's zero
numbers.
Flood slot.
Yeah, you know, and it's like
one
zero
out
flood
slot.
And then it's like the next number is the protection and things like that. But then you have to learn all of that, and then you'll still have to learn the one word.
Right.
You know, like, he'll have a one word, code word, things like that. Man, I would definitely say his, like, to me, his was a little harder picking up.
It's harder.
It was harder picking up, you know, and it's so much, like, audibles. It's like three audibles.
More
to
rules
each play.
And details yeah, and the exactly. plays. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So a year ago, you didn't want them to pick up the fifth-year option. Now you're approaching the period where they can apply the franchise tag.
Yeah.
What do you want them to do?
I mean, obviously, I wouldn't want to get franchise tagged. I mean, I feel like nobody really do. But to me, I wouldn't mind it if, you know, they got the right guys in the building around us. You know, like they got, you know, some guys on defense, figured out the quarterback situation, got some guys up front. Then I would be like, okay, I really wouldn't mind coming back, you know, on a franchise tag. But if you want me to come back and be the hero, then you're going to have to pay me like a hero.
You want that yeah. franchise tag to turn into a long-term deal? You don't want to do one more year, right?
Oh, yeah, nah, man. I mean, I want to be a Raider for life. And you know, I honestly, man, I don't want to play this game too long. I want to retire when I'm 30, you know.
And still healthy.
Still healthy and go about my, you know, being able to play with my kids and things like that. So
they shouldn't even be able to franchise running backs after year five.
No,
they should not. It's a BS,
really. You've earned your shot to go get
paid.
Right,
right. All right, well, how about, like, you know, Derek Carr, that situation.
Yeah.
Right? Just hit on that a little bit. That was like, I don't know if we saw a future with Derek Carr with the Raiders, but we were shocked it happened that abruptly.
Yeah.
What was it like in the locker room?
It was definitely weird, man.
Yeah.
You know, just like you can kind of see the signs that something was going to happen.
Right.
Like, you know, the year was already, like, the season we was having was already, you know,
we
lost that last game where we knew we weren't going to go to the playoffs because we had to win out.
Lost the Steelers
game.
Yeah,
had the Steelers. We knew we had to win out from there.
Yeah.
So we knew then, you know, that our playoff hopes was over. So we already kind of knew, like, they about to shake some stuff up.
Right.
You know, because they don't got nothing to lose at this point.
Yeah.
But we didn't know that it was going to be like
the
that.
The quarterback.
Yeah,
right.
you know what I'm saying? And when we didn't see him in meetings, you know, that next morning, we kind of just put all the pieces together and was like, okay. And then, you know, a lot of the guys were like, all right, Stiddy, let's go. And then Stiddy stepped into that role, man. And I seen Stiddy, like, literally become from a guy that barely spoke to, like, vocal and being a leader and things like that. I was just like, okay, let's ride with him.
Yeah.
Rewind it, though. We know it all fell apart after that loss to the Steelers. But when was the first time during the season where you just kind of paused and thought, something may not be right here?
I'm not going to lie. It was probably, like, week nine, I think, like Jacksonville, maybe.
After when you guys didn't pull that out in the end?
Yeah, like.
Here's your schedule. Just
yeah, we look, that's week nine. I remember, like, New Orleans beat us. Like, they beat us. They whooped us. You know what I'm saying? Like, shout outs to them.
Jacksonville, you blew opportunities.
We
late
blew
in the
it.
Game,
we
right?
blew it.
Right.
We blew it. And that's when I kind of knew, because I was like, man, besides two games, every game that we lost by less than a touchdown.
Right.
So I was like, clearly, we ain't figuring it out. Whatever it is that we missing, like, we there, but we not there. We not close enough. And that's kind of when I was like, man, I don't know how this season season about to go.
Right. I got to ask you about, you know, the team in your division that's wearing red and white in the big game, right?
Yeah.
Give me the scouting report. What's it like playing the Chiefs and especially that defense?
Yeah, I mean, I love playing against them, man. Just because they're good, man. They're a good football team. And you know, it's funny that I was talking about them earlier. I'm like, you know, when you play them at the end of the year, that they're almost a different team, like a completely different team than the beginning of the year. You could tell that they're stepping into their playoff run.
Super Bowl mode.
You could tell that they're locked in.
So you knew that, like, when you stepped on the field
man,
in pregame, you were
you
like,
know.
Uh-oh, the Chiefs are ready.
You know by the first drive.
Right.
Yeah, you know by the first drive what type of time they on.
Right.
But, man, I say I like playing against them just because, man, you know, they're the cream of the crop, really, if you think about it. They've been to, what, Super Bowl of the last five?
Three of the last four, yeah. five of the last AFC championships.
Yeah, man, it's been crazy, you know, like just what they've been able to accomplish. So I always like to play against teams like that because I always measure myself, like, okay, where am I at? Like, if I'm going against this elite defense and I have a good game, then I know that, like, you know, I'm not too far off.
Defense is more physical than it gets credit for, Kansas City. Like, I
know
you played the 49ers. Right?
No, they are. They're a lot more physical, and they're a lot more disciplined than people think.
You're right.
And, you know, and they send a lot of different
looks
all the time, blitzes and everything. Like.
Right.
But the thing is, too, though, you know, the Eagles, they got probably the best offensive line in the league right
now,
you know. So just to be seeing that matchup, I think that whoever wins is going to be the guys that – whoever up front plays better that day.
Yeah.
Do you have your private wish list of teams you would want to join if you don't stay with the Raiders?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Do you want to share it with us?
We know you want to stay with the Raiders, number
I want to stay with the Raiders.
But. Right. Is there any situations out there you look at? It's okay to say them.
Yeah, you know, somewhere tax-free.
Yeah.
That's the idea. Hello,
Tampa,
Jaguars.
Miami.
Hello, Buccaneers.
You know,
hello, Dolphins.
Somewhere in that range.
The Dallas Cowboys.
Yep.
know, somewhere right there.
Okay.
You know, Houston, they
we're just trying to help your market, man. Don't worry. Yeah, that's what we're here for. We're a player show.
Josh, you said earlier you want to retire when you're 30. You had 393 touches this year. Do you want to keep doing that and just leave it all out there? Or do you, would you mind splitting a role with someone?
It just depends on the circumstance to me, because I feel like if the game is on the line, I always want to be in the game. I don't care what the circumstance is. But I ain't going to lie, this year, I felt good. I was coming out of games until like week 13, 12. I was coming out of games where I felt like I didn't even play. I didn't even have bruises. Like, I didn't have bruises. I didn't have scratches. I'm coming out the game. You know how you take a shower and you be ready, like, ah, what's about to burn?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not feeling nothing. I'm like, man, I just feel like I just went out there and ran it
up. Well, duh. You're a freak of nature. That's where I want to – I mean, first off, how – of course you don't feel anything. How freaking thick are you? Right? I mean, we've been up here with running backs all week. Nobody is as thick as you. So, all right? I mean, that's – so give us – give the people at home the real measurables right now. What are you weighing right now? Like, what are we running between the tackles at?
225.
225, and you're what, 5'9 and a half, 5'10"?
Yeah, 5'10.
Okay, he didn't that 5'9".
He tried me. It's cool, though.
Hey, before we let you go, this has been great. tell us about FedEx and your – FedEx Ground Player of the Year Award.
Yeah, man. So it's a fan vote award this year, and every year, and so it's an honor to have it, just because, you know, the fans get to see what you actually did, and it's a great appreciation that I have for that. They also donated 20K to any HBCU of my choosing.
It's awesome.
Yeah, man. And I chose Langston University. I chose them because they're 40 minutes away from where I grew up at in Tulsa, and also It was the first college I ever went to. You know, I was in like fifth grade, sixth grade, first college I ever experienced. And, you know.
Good for you, man.
Yeah, man. I know the coaches there. They came around into my high school a lot and things like that. So, yeah, it's good to give back to them.
Way to go. FedEx. I got my FedEx account. I know I'm giving a lot of money to FedEx every year.
Well, I got that account.
My wife, she needs it.
Josh, great stuff as always. Congratulations on your success and all the best in free agency. Whether you stay with the Raiders or end up somewhere else, we're sure you're going to have another great year.
With the number 2 pick in the draft, we got a freaking football playing dude now. He's high motor and he's versatile as hell.
There he is. You know, they gave out the Offensive Rookie of the Year last night and the Defensive Rookie of the Year, but this guy earlier in the day just won Rookie of the Year. That's even better.
Yeah.
It's all the rookies in one pot. Yeah. He's Aiden Hutchinson,
you're
the Detroit
right
Lions.
You better.
Yes, hell yeah.
I remember meeting with you last year when, you know, it looked like it was set up for the Lions.
Right.
If the Jags pass. Right. And hoping deep down that's how it went, but it just felt like it was meant to be.
Oh, yeah.
That you'd be a Lion, and it feels like you're going to be a Lion forever.
Yeah, it was also a storybook, man. Now I'm living 10 minutes away from my parents' house and taking the same expressway I took to high school. It's honestly ridiculous. The whole thing is wild.
Right. And that's a positive, right? You love that, right?
I love it.
Some people, I think, would be like, man, I didn't want to be back in my hometown.
Right.
But, you know.
Yeah.
So
Well, that's why, you know, you can vacation in the off season. You can get out a little bit. But, you know, when I go to work and stuff, I'm home.
Right, right. All right. So, like, great year, like Mike said. First thing is just, like, what – NFL football, what was the biggest shock? I mean, I know you, Michigan, Big Ten, awesome, but like, what was that moment, you know, after you sang Billie Jean and did all that in training camp, where you were just like, wow, the NFL game's different?
You know, I just think there's no real drop-off in talent, you know, from game to game compared to college, you
know? Right, yeah, yeah.
I mean, in the NFL, there's some elite offensive linemen, but for the most part, it's like a very steady line across all teams.
Yeah.
So I think that's the biggest difference for me between NFL and college is just, dude, week by week, you got to be ready physically, mentally, but like there's no...
College, you had a few games where you're like, I'm going to get some college today. I'm going to get a few sacks today.
Yeah, there's a big disparity between teams. So you got to be fighting every week and you got to be ready.
Yeah.
The last game of the season. And, you know, they say in the NFL only one team is ever happy, the team that wins the Super Bowl. But you guys... It felt like a bowl game.
It did.
You get selected to play in the last game of the regular season. You know going in that you're not going to get to the playoffs even if you win. But still, there had to be something special about going into Lambeau Field, knocking them out, and being able to walk off the field last game of the season as winners.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was taking away from it. You know, if we did make it to the playoffs and you don't win the Super Bowl, you're going to end the season on a loss. So, you know, I took it as a positive, took it as, hey, we stopped Aaron Rodgers from making it. We won. The Lions fans showed up after that game.
That was amazing.
After
amazing
that game
there.
Was so awesome. Right. Dude, it was ridiculous. And that's – I just love our fans, man. And so that whole game, man, it was a great way to go out for my rookie year.
Rookie year, like, you go from John Harbaugh – or Jim Harbaugh, to Dan Campbell.
Oh, yeah.
Like, tell us, like, the first experience, Dan Campbell. Were you like, what the hell? What is this? Was it a shock? I mean – his personality is infectious, it seems.
I think it's what he showed on Hard Knocks when he was talking about just when you see the light at the end of the tunnel, it's a freight train coming your way. That's Dan Campbell right there. That's him, and that's what he does, man. And that's who he is.
It's intense.
He is whatever you see, interviews, anything like that. That's who he is. Hell yeah.
What was the spark when it was 1-6, and it just felt like it was going to be another same old Lions season? What caused it to flip?
I think, you know, we came together as a defense, and we really got accountable for each other, and that's something that's not easy to do. Not necessarily calling guys out, but every guy saying what they think they're responsible for and what they got to get better at and stuff like that. And just hearing your teammates say that, you know, it's something kind of vulnerable, and it's something that I think it propelled us.
So was it like a team meeting? Did you have
defensive meeting?
Yeah. Who took charge?
Some of the captains did. Some of the captains got up, but I mean, at the end of the day, it was a majority of the guys talking.
Yeah. All right. So for you personally. You know, rookie year, great. What's second year where you're like, okay, I got to hone in on this.
Yeah.
I got to get a little bit better. What is the element you're looking that you got to improve?
Yeah, man. Obviously I'm looking all around the board. But,
I know you are.
I'm licking my chops already at year two.
Yeah.
I can't wait, man. I think.
More pass rush moves? You're trying to get more powerful?
I think, I got a pretty good pass rush plan.
Yeah.
I don't need more moves. You don't need that many moves.
You're right.
But it's more perfecting what you have.
Gotcha.
And obviously getting faster, stronger, all those little things. But and also focusing on the mental side of the game, the visualizing, the meditating, especially in the offseason.
Okay. Did the grind of the year get to you a little bit as like a rookie? Was that a tough thing? You know, I know my rookie year, I was like, holy crap, we still got 5 games left, right?
To be honest with you, it didn't hit me too hard. Because for me, when I was sitting there, every week I was so motivated to just produce and keep getting better. And so I was so just fired up every week.
Right.
And I know that might sound a little cliche.
I got you, but you just, every day you went after it.
But, like, you know, if you get a sack in a game, you're like, I want to do that every week.
Yeah.
You know, I want to keep doing that. So I was so motivated by that. But when I was watching the playoffs, especially, I was like, dude, these are long. Like, you make it to the Super Bowl.
Right.
It's a lot of football now.
It's
a lot of football.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
How do you deal with any frustrations you had to be feeling when? And there are two dynamics for pass rushers. You get held all the time.
Yeah.
And it feels like the tackles, we watch all the games, it feels like they get off just enough, just a half second before into their pass block set.
They never call.
What's going on with that, right?
It's one of those things in the NFL that's kind of just a thing. And in college, they'll pull the flag every time.
Right.
But in the NFL, if I get a little half-second jump, that flag's flying.
Definitely.
But if they get a half-second jump, it's, same with the quarterbacks. If the delay a game, as long as they don't see it hit zero, it's not delay a game. So, you know, the NFL is made for the offense.
It is. You say that to the refs during the game, though? Like, do you bring it up to them?
I don't even fight.
If you give up on it.
There's no point.
You can slam your helmet to the ground, and then your coach can pick it up and give it to you. You can slam your helmet to the ground again, Joey Bosa. But that's and, you know, others have said, Max Crosby said it, you just have to deal with it because that's just the way it is. It seems like that's the attitude you have.
I was watching it, and I felt that same feeling. You know, you feel he was trying these spin moves, you know, wide hands. He was wrapped around him, but dude, they're never gonna. I mean, 90% of those when you're going inside, they will never call those. They only call the ones when you're reaching outside and you're.
It's sometimes not then.
Blatant. You got to be very blatant and sell it in order to even get it.
Who's the toughest guy you faced this year?
Yeah, let's hear it. Who's the guy that shocked you? Whoa.
I mean, week one, we played Philly week one,
right.
And that offensive line was, like, arguably the best in the league. And even in camp, I played against our offensive line the whole camp. So I had a really good start to my year. So I think I'd say maybe Lane. I want to play Lane again. That was week one. I didn't really know.
He's the master of the early departure from the line of scrimmage.
No doubt. Oh yeah, he's real good at that. So, but I definitely am looking forward to playing Lane again.
Yeah. I mean, I know. I wanted to ask you like the best team you played all year. I know they were early on in the year, but I guess that would be the best team you played too.
I'd say all around, man. They're so talented.
Were you shocked by the size of their offensive line? Like, was that a shock to you a little bit? Like Malata?
I would say the size. I would just say, you just look all around. You look at that whole offensive line.
Right. There's no weak spot.
There's no weakness, essentially. You know? Right. I mean, they have, what, 3 or 4 Pro Bowl guys?
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
How many interceptions you have this year?
3.
You intercepted Aaron Rodgers in the end zone. Yeah. Like, I hope you kept that ball.
Oh, of course.
Where you is did? It?
I've kept all my interceptions. It's right in my little case in my living room.
We saw Penei Sewell make the catch against the Vikings to ice the game. Are you doing any lobbying for a little tight end, a little... Put me out there, coach.
I'm all for it now. I got some hands.
I've shown I can
You
catch.
Do have some hands,
I got some
man.
Hands now. So, you know, maybe my MVP year in a few years when it's coming up, I'll get some touchdown receptions.
That's how you win MVP as a defensive player. That's the J.J. Watt model. I mean, he didn't win it, but that was the year he was a real candidate. Yeah. He was playing some tight ends.
Is there anybody you watch during the year as far as players, like where you go, let me see what they're doing pass rush-wise? Like, is there anybody that you study as the season goes on to steal anything from? Or is it just kind of happen naturally through watching film?
I wouldn't say any moves because there's only so many moves you can do as a pass rusher. It's more instinctually watching them and seeing how they get out. It's more like the little things, like, you know, maybe how their stance is, maybe how they're lean this way. But, I mean, even the amount of film you watch. You
see enough of
the
guys. You
see enough of so many guys. I just take little things like, oh, if he's doing that to this, I might try that to that. Then,
right.
You know, so it's kind of like that.
Right.
It's not necessarily taking moves. It's more helping my instincts a little bit.
Yeah. What about – go ahead.
Are you a get Aaron Rodgers out of the division guy, or are you a, hey, we swept him last year, bring it on again guy?
I'm a whatever guy.
He don't care.
If Aaron wants to stay, he can stay. If he wants to leave, c'est la vie, you know?
I love it. All right, so, I mean, we know you can rush the passer, but what do you got? What are you selling today? Let's see what you can do in this department.
Yeah, so I'm here on behalf of Courtyard by Marriott and the official hotel of the NFL, and they are showcasing the Courtyard Sleepover Super Bowl Suite. In the stadium, and one lucky fan gets to sleep in the stadium, in the suite, wake up on Super Bowl Sunday, and be the first ones in the stadium.
Wow.
And they're overlooking the whole thing, so it's a great deal.
That is a great deal. Yeah. Damn, I should have signed up for that one.
I know, me too.
You know?
Me too, it was pretty dope.
All right, last one on the way out. Other than offensive linemen and defensive linemen, right? Yeah. Tell me a guy like, you know, carrying the ball, receiver, running back, where you were just like, whoa. And here's your schedule if you want to look at it, where you were like, that guy was the truth, or I had no idea.
Let me see.
I always love to hear that kind of thing from a guy like you. I know you got good perspective.
You know who was a sneaky one for me?
Yeah.
I missed like 2 tackles on in the Bears game was David Montgomery.
Oh, that power, those legs.
He's one of those guys.
Right?
He's so small.
And then he's got the quick.
And like, I go to wrap him up, and he's just kind of like, he's so small, and he's like a little bowling ball, you know?
Right.
So I missed a couple tackles on him. So I'd say I got to get back.
You got to get back in it. He shocked you a little bit.
Yeah.
Aiden, I remember meeting with you last year. It was early in the week for us, and we both were really impressed. You had a ton of confidence. You were going to come in and tear it up, and you did. We're watching you. It's been great so far, and we have a feeling that the ceiling is unlimited. So we wish you all the best. Congratulations. The NFL Rookie of the Year. Not offense, not defense.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Just rookie of the Year.
Future tight end of the Detroit Lions. Future MVP candidate, Aiden Hutchinson.
Hell
thanks
for some
of your time.
Appreciate it.
Here he is. This is the magic of camera technology. See, we put up that screen, and we get it all in order.
And we
boom,
look like
we
it was all set up.
And here he is.
Damn, there he is.
As natural as it can possibly be, Isaiah Simmons joining the program. Isaiah, how are you, pal?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me. You're doing great. Great to be here in Arizona.
Yeah, how's the weather?
You're a great host.
Is the weather doing you
It's
good?
Cold.
Oh, what?
Come on.
At night
that
it's cold.
I'm from, I'm live up in like, you know, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area. It's been cold. It's been 8 degrees.
But when you come to Arizona, you kind of, I didn't know that it was 40 degrees at night in the wintertime. It's kind of nice. It's kind of refreshing.
That sun goes down, that desert cold is...
It's real.
Yeah.
It is.
I've been trying to tell people, they're like, no way. I'm like, just find out for yourself.
Yeah, right. They'll figure it out when they get here.
Yeah.
All right, you had a big year this year. I mean, I feel like your role got settled down finally. You know, am I right to say that? Wait, no Jordan Hicks. They finally kind of figured out how to maybe use you the correct way. Am I correct to say that? Maybe not there yet.
You know, so much in my opinion, I would say that I moved more into, like, my natural position, more of what I was doing at Clemson. You know, I was more so in that, like, nickel safety role.
Roving around the field.
Rolling around in that area, you know.
Right.
So, you know, I just felt like, you know, I'm just finally starting to get back to what I do. And I really feel like last year was really just like just putting the 1 foot through the door, you know.
Yeah.
We're just getting started.
Well, when you say getting back to what you do, like, explain that to people out there. Like, you mean just like being in the middle of the field and they just say, like, go get the ball and you can run around and do that. And
then like, see ball, get ball.
Well, little bit. I mean, I feel like that's what you did at Clemson a lot of times when you were there.
I just think really what it is is just being able to, you never know, I could be in the post, I could be in the half field, I could be blitzing off the edge, blitzing through
any gap. It's insane.
You know, I could be a hook curl, curl flat, you just, you know, you never know. And I can do that all from anywhere, anywhere.
Linebacker, free safety, nickelback, you did it all.
We had a discussion before the show. How do we describe Isaiah? Linebacker, safety, what do we call him? It's like, well, I'll just ask you, what do you call yourself?
When I get asked, I normally say like linebacker, safety, and then I go, well, I kind of just a little bit of everything. So that's pretty much what I say, linebacker, safety with a little bit of everything.
You like that though, don't you? Having the freedom to move around, confuse the offense a little bit. They never know where you're going to pop up.
Yeah, because I mean, the way I view football is conceptually, not so much a position wise and, you know, what's the difference between a linebacker playing hook curl or safety
doing
down
it? You're right. Same job.
You know, it's the same job.
Yeah, that's right. So, like, take us through the year a little bit. I mean, playoffs 2 seasons ago, it looked like everything was on the up and up, right? Mm-hmm. And I saw a comment from Buda Baker a few days ago talking about training camp. He didn't feel like people were kind of on their P's and Q's and focused. Mm-hmm. Like, where did it slip up or go wrong for you guys this year, in your opinion?
Yeah. You know, like Buddha said, in training camp, you could tell that maybe at times
it's a little relaxed.
It was a little too relaxed.
Yeah.
And, you know, training camp, that's when you really find out a lot about your team.
Definitely.
And at times I felt like a lot of that carried over into the season, you know, with people being maybe too relaxed or taking advantage of.
The culture. And showing up to a meeting a little late or
yeah.
Moseying
like
out on the practice field where you're like,
exactly.
Man, we've all been out here, but
exactly.
You're coming out a minute late. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, so just a higher sense of urgency.
Right.
That would be the best way I could say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I got
higher
you.
Sense of urgency.
I got
is that
you.
What you want in a coach? You want somebody who's going to be kind of the opposite of the culture and come in and take over and hold guys accountable and expect more? And is
you
that
know,
what you want?
So last year, that was or just my time in the NFL has been – my first time with a coach of that structure. And I don't think it's a bad thing. You know, I really think it just depends on what type of professional you are, you know, because the guys that handle their business and are locked in on what they need to do, you see them, they're performing well.
Some of the older guys and been
exactly,
around a little bit.
The guys who understand,
right,
you know, exactly.
Right.
You know, those guys, they're still performing well and they're understanding what they need to do. But, you know, also, you know, coming from Clemson, you know, everything was like this.
Oh,
you know,
this is the way we're going to yeah,
do it.
Yeah, right. It's my way or the highway.
But it worked. And, you know, when it's working and you're winning, it doesn't bother you. Mm-hmm. And you start to not know anything different. So I really appreciate coaches that are like that as well, just that set the structure. Because, honestly, football, you know, it's all about structure. And I feel like it's very important.
You got a great feel for the game. So I want to ask you, like, I know it was early in the year. You played the Chiefs, first game of the year. You played the Eagles, you know, in that first quarter of the season, too, at least the first half of the season. Give us your, you know, assessment of those teams and how you kind of break it down for the Super Bowl. What jumped out to you about both of them?
Well, we can start with number 15.
Okay. Isn't it funny how every conversation starts with 15? It's just amazing.
You know, personally, I'd say he's probably the best player I've played against. Far.
Explain it, too. Tell the fans, like, what is it like playing Mahomes? What is it where you're just like, holy crap?
I just feel like just when you think you got him beat, he figures out some way to do something spectacular.
Right.
You don't know how he's going to throw the ball. Obviously, we've learned left, right, underhand, overhand.
Sidearm.
Threw like a hook.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, hook shot.
You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
yeah.
And along with that, like, he's smart. mobile on his feet, accurate off the throw, accurate off his feet.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah, you've never seen anything like him.
Along with that, you know, he has, you know, arguably, you know, the best tight end to play the game.
Right.
So just they're going to find the matchups. But just to flip to the Eagles side.
Yeah, what about them?
You know, they're loaded. Yeah. Offense, defense, they have one of the six D lines ever.
Right.
We see what they're doing. You know, they might make history of what they're doing.
Yeah.
And then Jalen Hurts is we see what he's doing.
Right.
You know, he's playing like an MVP. So
yeah.
That along with their receivers, Devontae Smith, AJ Brown, you gotta give credit where credit's due.
So you look at the Eagles like this and the Chiefs like this.
That's not necessary.
But the quarterback we've been saying all week, where the Eagles are better. We know that. We're with you. Everybody knows that.
Right.
But is it by so much that number 15 in red can't even it out?
I feel like, you know, he makes up so much that it's going to be a tough game.
It's going to be a tight one.
Yeah.
You got to lean yet?
It's hard to beat Patrick Mahomes. Let's say that.
All right. I hear you.
You guys have a pretty good quarterback in Kyler Murray, but he's currently injured. Mm-hmm. Have you been keeping tabs on how he's doing as he recovers from this ACL? Because that's a big deal for a guy with that much reliance on his explosion and mobility to have to come back from that and trust it going forward.
Mm-hmm. I know for a fact that he's been progressing, working hard at it, but he's kind of private about it, which, you know, I don't necessarily think is a bad thing, but, you know, he's not just super deaf in detail, but, you know, the updates, we appreciate the updates, and we know that he's doing well and getting better day by day, so really looking forward to seeing him back on the field.
He seems super private. Like even for the guys on the team, like do you get to hang out with Kyler and like
occasionally comes to hang out with us.
Yeah.
He comes to hang out with us.
Right. Like I know he's one of the guys, but he's soft spoken and kind of quiet, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. I mean, it's nothing wrong with it. You know, everybody's not a social.
Yeah.
Wants to be out and
but you need to be a leader at some point, or somebody's got to be the leader.
Right,
is he emerging as a leader despite his personality, or are others becoming the leaders instead?
Yeah, I do. I think I just feel like in this past year, he really improved with it. Just stepping out of what he would normally do, which, you know, I'm not saying what he normally does is a bad thing, but, you know, just stepping out of what he would normally do and
trying to grow as a player and a leader.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
And we all, every player in the NFL, to Patrick Mahomes, to, you know, whoever you want to say, has things to work on. So,
yeah.
You know, everybody's, we're all growing.
Yeah. When you look at your Cardinal football team, because I want to hear your sales pitch here in a minute,
mm-hmm.
what's like the one area of the team where you kind of felt like, oh man, we're a little mismatched here? I mean, I know you got a lot of good players and all mm-hmm. that. I'm not trying to, but another top tier pass rusher, more big people in the middle of the line. What do you kind of look at? You go like, man, we kind of had some issues in that department.
In my opinion, I can only speak for defense,
yeah.
But you know, I would say, not that we missed it, because I feel like the guys we have in the future to come, that they're going to be, like, top dogs. But, you know, when you lose a guy like Chandler Jones, you're going to feel it.
Yeah.
A guy who has over 100 sacks, even though we have JJ who has over 100 sacks.
Yeah, right.
Just Chandler's presence,
what
he does.
On the outside, on the edge.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's almost unmatched.
Right.
And we see what those guys are doing. I mean, look at Hassan Reddick.
Right.
Guys like Chris Jones, you see what he's doing.
Yeah. So that pass rusher, in your opinion, changes the defense in a big way.
Yeah, it does, because, you know, schematically, you know, you may have to change what you're doing in the back seven.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah. I hear you there.
Yeah, the more resources they have to spend to slow down the pass rusher, the less they have to deal with the guys in the back seven.
The
you guys can run a little more free.
Right, and the QB, if he knows he doesn't have time to throw it.
Right, rushes, you know, decisions.
Exactly.
You know, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, so you're here today on behalf of Legacy League NFT Exchange. Mm-hmm. Tell us more about it.
So, yes, Legacy League, it's a premier sports NFT exchange for college athletics and universities. And the alumni fans, you can collect and support it. And if you don't know what an NFT is, it's a digital form of, could be like a picture, of a painting.
Right.
And They're all one of a kind, and you know everybody.
You can own the rights of those, right?
To own the rights of them, right? Yeah, so
carry it around in your phone.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, I feel like that's definitely becoming the future, just like with the meta world and just the way things are advancing. So
it's almost like the new age trading cards to a degree too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
all right.
I've seen a lot of cool ones out there, so looking forward to see a lot of more cool ones.
I've seen some out there that are very cool, but I'm not going
to
talk
about
that.
Well, you need to make some.
I've seen some bad ones, too.
You need to make some. You need to make some, too.
Hey, so somebody, in the works.
It's in the works.
All right. Hey, Isaiah, thanks for some of your time. Congratulations on all your success, and hopefully you'll have a head coach by, who knows, maybe this time next week.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
You know, Mike Florio, I don't know if you know who Lupe Fiasco is, but he has a song, and it's called, and it says, if you are who you say you are, well, the lights are on, the camera's here, the people want to know. Joe Flacco says he's elite. Everybody's watching this weekend, Joe. We want to know. Show us.
Now, is that part of the Lupe Fiasco song, too? Was it about Joe Flacco, or are you revising the lyrics on the fly?
Well, when I added Joe Flacco's name, that was the Sean King remix version. P. Diddy's
my
cousin.
Who's the guy on the left? It's been a long 10 years of dealing with this guy.
Holy cow.
Sean King, our old friend.
Good to see you
in
guys.
The house.
What up, man?
Yeah, man. I'm excited to be here.
Good.
Like, I want to say I've lost some weight, but I'm not sure. I know I added some beard.
I'm not sure either. I don't know. You got some more clothes
still
on, too.
Still the same great personality.
Definitely.
Sex appeal
is at an all-time
high. Absolutely.
Green room. Giving it to Amani Toomer, of the former players.
Yeah, we had a great time, man. You look the same, Mike.
No, I don't.
Yeah, I don't. Young,
just
vibrant.
More grays.
Gray hair.
Yeah.
Gray hair.
But this shows your experience.
That's right. Well, you know, it's too late to change it now. You can't go back. Once the gray's there, it stays. So off we go. So how you been?
I've been great. I'm excited. Super Bowl is here. Super Bowl week. I'm a part of it. I'm next to my old teammate.
My old buddy.
Yeah, man.
Yep.
Like,
help me out.
I knew my days in Tampa were numbered. I'm watching the draft. We got a lot of things that we need to fill, deficiency-wise. I didn't think quarterback was one of them. And with the, what was it, 97
six or six, something? Yeah,
select, right. The Bucs select Chris Sims. And I look at my mom and I was, uh-oh.
But you were great to me.
That's the first always.
Thing you really were.
I always great say this about me. Brad Johnson, still one of my best friends. Right. Brad did what anybody else would have did. They offered him a big contract. He took it.
Right.
Couldn't ask for a better teammate.
Right, he was. He set the tone for us.
Right.
I mean, he was. No, it was truly a team that, of course, won the Super Bowl. They didn't need me. Sean had already gotten to an NFC Championship game, but that's where you guys were selfless, and I did respect that. And he helped me along with the Gruden offense and the psychoness of Gruden. And wait, I'm like, damn, Gruden hates me. He mother effed me for an hour straight. And he's like, no, it actually means he likes you, sir. You know, calm down, right? You know, just
and I didn't really believe that. I just was telling you that.
It worked.
Because it worked. The psychology, like, people don't understand how hard it is to play quarterback in the National Football League. And if you don't like or you have an issue with your coach, you have no shot at being successful.
Right.
So I just was, as a mentor, older player, like, man, don't worry about it. Yeah. He love you. I was like, I didn't really like him either. I mean, he benched me.
Yeah, right.
What do you miss most about playing?
The locker room. The locker room and payday. Those are the two things. Like, it's just an organicness that exists in the locker room where everybody can be honest, candid, to a fault.
Yeah.
And you deal with it, whether you agree, disagree, and you move on.
Right.
And the world, life isn't even remotely.
No, not like that.
Like that anymore.
Yeah,
so,
that's what's addicting
so
about
you
it.
Miss that authentic atmosphere. And then on payday, I mean, come on, you get paid for a full year over 17 checks. I mean, you know, that's look real good.
Have I ever told you that? So, I mean, we're on stories in Tampa. So, I mean, yeah, he's right. And they used to, in Tampa, did they pay us every week
they
or every other
two
week?
Weeks.
Every 2 weeks, right?
Some real big numbers.
Big numbers, right. So every 2 weeks. And, you know, I'm a rookie. And, you know, him and Sapp and Simeon Rice and Derek Brooks and Rondé have been great in taking me under their wing. Well, I know what my rookie third round check looked like. Okay, it was a good number, don't get me wrong. But damn, Simeon Rice had just got the $20 million guaranteed, like the first guy ever. And I was like, damn, I got to see what that check is. I got to see. And I went in his locker and opened up his damn check and looked at the number, and I was like, holy crap. And about 2 minutes later, he walks in the locker room, and he's like, hey,
Who? Dog, dog, dog. Who's been in my locker? Who's been looking at my check? And I'm like, me? You know? And he looked at me and he's like, you. And I was like, I'm sorry, man. I just had a look. And he's like, oh, you rich ass. You're Bill Simms' son. All you had is money growing up. You know what these checks look like? So, but it was an all time
curiosity
great
normally kills the kid. It I does. Guess you scurried away.
I scurried away. I made good enough friends with him. He didn't want to kick my butt.
One of my all time favorite stories, and I need a refresher on it. You, Rodney Harrison, Luke McCown, yeah. Arizona.
It was Josh.
Oh, Josh McCown.
And yeah. Rodney had hit Josh McCown out of bounds. And, I mean, me and Josh, we didn't have a relationship me and Chris has. Like, we coexisted, but like, we weren't buddy-buddy.
You were the backup to Josh McCown.
Right, and I definitely thought that I should have been the starter. And I didn't probably handle that as well as I should have, but I'm always protecting my teammate. So we're going into the half, and I'm at Rodney's head. You a bum. Like, you hit the quarterback out of bounds. I'm chirping. So Brady's in front of us. Rodney stops, turns around. I'm a bum. You can't even beat out this bum. And Josh is standing next to him. And Brady turns and makes this little snarky little giggle. And, I mean, I've never felt lower in my life. Like, I don't know what to do, what to say. Because I couldn't just, you know, yes, I am. Right. You know, Josh is just, Rodney really, he got me that time. Rodney got me that. Only time in my life I've lost an argument to a light-skinned guy with good hair. Only time in my entire life. Shout out to Rodney Harrison.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's good. He's still a good, you know, he can still talk. He really can.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They kicked our butt, too, by the way.
I'm sure.
Beat us like a drum.
Big game 3 days away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's your lean?
I'm going Mahomes and experience. I think for Philly, they've not had an easy path, but they've had a very advantageous path
right.
to get to this game.
Right.
Just look at the level of competition from the opposing quarterbacks. Outside of Aaron Rodgers, they didn't really encounter any elite quarterbacks this season. This Chiefs team,
yeah.
Justin Herbert twice, Joe Burrow twice, Josh Allen.
Oh, their schedule was
So I think they're better prepared for this level. And I think that's going to showcase itself Sunday. So I'm taking the Chiefs to win the game.
We both feel the same way, right? Like I've been saying, really from day one when we got out here this week, I go, it would worry me a little bit, like you said, the schedule. They haven't had to really play a meaningful, tough, battle-tested game in like 6 or 7 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think as ex-players, I think if you and I were on a team like that, we'd go, damn, are we going to rise up in this moment all of a sudden? You, as an athlete, you know, you're confident, but yet you think of those things.
They haven't had to play from behind.
No.
Offense or
right.
defense.
Exactly.
They haven't been in a situation where they really had to pull a game out late. So there are some things that we just don't know about this Eagles team. Now, I want to tip my hat to Howie. He's done a great job of assembling.
Definitely.
A great roster. I want to acknowledge the fact that Jalen Hurts, when you look at that draft class, I mean, he's gotten better every year. What
he
else
has.
Can you ask from a young quarterback?
Right.
Completion percentage, yards, touchdowns, yards per game. Like, he's getting better. Is he a complete product? No. But he's headed in the right direction. If you ask Jets fans if they wish Zach Wilson's career arc looked like Jalen Hurts or Mac Jones or one of those other guys, then I think a lot of people would say, yeah, we wish they were heading the same direction.
Yeah, I hear you. He's done a lot of great things. I know. I mean, listen, I'm taking my heat over Jalen Hurts. So, you know, listen, it's a great team, like you said. People are starting to try to put him in the class already of a upper echelon that I'm not ready to put him in. I know you wanted to get at me a little
No,
about
I didn't
that.
Want to get at you at yeah. all. I think sometimes we look at things, and I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about overall.
Right.
And I'm the kind of person that would always push back if anybody tells me that Patrick Mahomes is in the same category with Tom Brady and Joe Montana. He's not. He hadn't been in the league long enough. He hadn't had enough seasons under the sun.
Yeah.
Now, if you ask him about his talent, it's unique. It's unicorn-like.
Right.
I think he's
On a trajectory to be in that
but
way.
But he still
right.
has to do it. Think about what we thought of Aaron Rodgers at this point in his career and what we think now.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you'd have said then that Rodgers is only going to be in 2 Super Bowls 10 years from now and only have won one, we'd be like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
And he just hadn't got it done. So I don't want to put the cart before the horse when it comes to Mahomes either.
Right.
But I also like to acknowledge that Jalen is headed in the right direction.
He is.
We're getting up against the break here, but I just realized something. You know, this is the first Super Bowl with both quarterbacks starting the game, black quarterbacks. It would have been you and McNair 23 years ago.
Ooh. Still looking for that referee. That definitely was a catch.
Right.
I haven't been able to find him yet. I put all my minions on Twitter. We were looking for him. The crazy thing about it before we go to break, we didn't know the play was being reviewed. That was one of
the Bert Emanuel catch that sparked 20 years of what's a catch.
We had called timeout. we were in the huddle. I had called the next play.
Right.
And we were breaking the huddle, and the ref was like, hold on, go back.
Right. Damn, I know. That's got to eat at you still. I mean,
it eats at me now.
Right. It does.
He's told me that before, too. Those playoff losses stay with you forever. That's what I was talking about Joseph Asai from the Bengals. He's going to live with that the rest of his life. It never goes away.
Yeah.
The hard thing for me was, and I think this is where Jalen does have an advantage, if you have never failed on that stage, you still don't understand the magnitude of not succeeding.
Yeah, I hear you.
Like, it sucks for me because Hardy Nickerson, Donnie Abraham, those guys that helped build that Tampa
team
weren't
there
when we won it.
Right.
And we were that close.
Hey, we're up against it, so tell us real quick where we can see and hear you now.
Well, you can catch me at VEASAN, primetime, 3 to 6. We're on YouTube television. You can download the app. We have a whole lot of fun on the show, as
you
would imagine. Yep. We also help you make some money, so I'm super excited about you. Follow me on Twitter, at RealSeanKing. It's a truth-only zone, though. So if you're afraid of the truth,
we only know the truth. That's all we know.
Yeah.
Well, it's great to see. I can't believe it's been 10 years. I still can't believe that was both of us. I can't even remember that moment. So much happens when you talk football, but always had fun talking football with you.
I had a T-shirt on with a button-down shirt. That probably wasn't the best choice.
And remember how you signed off, because we're signing off.
Absolutely.
We're signing off in 10.
My man,
nine.
Sean
Here we
King.
Go. Oh, it's Chris's fall. We don't even get to see Sean shooting the arrow.
Did you really fall? When
I did.
Push you?
It broke. See ya.
Oh!
See you tomorrow.
All right, broskies. Hope everybody enjoyed those interviews. We got one more of these podcasts dropping on Friday, all right? And it's the wideout edition. Wide receivers. The best athletes on the planet, in my opinion. Justin Jefferson, Deebo Samuel, T. Higgins, Garrett Wilson, and C.D. Lamb. That's coming for the Friday podcast. Check it out. Great personalities, great perspective, the stars of our sport. And again, don't forget, Monday, the Homies Choice Awards. Yeah, we'll be revealing those winners. Amon and I will be back in the seat, ready to talk some ball. You know where you can vote on these things. At CSimsQB on Twitter, at SimsUnButton on Instagram. Get on there, get at me. Hope you enjoy the Friday podcast. That'll be out some point Friday morning.